Hey, listen up. We got another episode of Wisecracks, featuring the crack man himself, Bill Krakenberger, and our co-host, John Orlando, straight from Las Vegas. Wisecracks is your ticket inside the world of sports betting, with tips, picks, special guests, and more, only on WSN.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another week of Wisecracks. I'm your co-host, John Orlando, and I've got the man himself, Bill Krakenberger, with us, of course. Bill, normally I would start asking what you've been up to since I last saw you last week, but I'm pretty sure I have a good idea. You were glued to a TV somewhere watching the Masters and watching Dustin Johnson just rip it up. Am I right?
Yes. Good to see you, John. And you know, that's the biggest tournament of the year. It's very unusual. We had it in November instead of April. But that's why we had Casey Kerr on last week, golf caddy and legendary golf caddy that he is. I talked to him a couple times during the week. During the Masters itself, it was pretty cool. And Dustin Johnson, he was like the second or third choice. It was like DeChambeau, John Rahm, and actually Rory McIlroy was also up there for a while as a pre-favorite. He was actually fourth out of them, but Dustin Johnson was second or third the whole week, favorite. And that's actually very profitable for the sports book when that happens. So, but yes, I was watching. I watched round four. He had a good lead. I watched the first couple of rounds, and you know, DeChambeau, who that's everyone's favorite.
And I bet on him. didn't work out, but yeah, I know nothing about golf. So the way Casey talked about DeChambeau, I was like, yeah, this guy sounds like a beast. I'm in. But you know, he also said it's a tough thing to win, you know?
Well, you know, let's talk about a little bit right now about that, because that just goes to show you here. You got a guy that's a professional out there with these guys for 30 straight Masters. And you know, he did. He thought that DeChambeau, along with a lot of the public and a lot of the sharp people, they thought this guy was going to come out there and rip apart the golf course. He was a giant favorite. And I say giant because, you know, a major golf tournament and he's 7.5 to 1, even 7 to 1. It's ridiculous. But I even said, I'd like to have a yes, no, and bet against them. Some of these guys, only one guy can win. So
right.
It's pretty interesting. The yes, no props that sportsbooks like the Circa put up. So you could see this week, even in the matchups and stuff, he was a giant favorite. And just from the start, he just didn't have it this week. He came across with a little bit. I kind of thought it was kind of not childish, but I'm surprised a guy like Bryson was saying, oh, I didn't feel good. I was even went for a Corona test. You had a bad row, you know, you had a bad round right. of golf, guy. It happens. You know, yeah. It happens to the best of us. It's the Masters. Just suck it up and go with it. He came back a little bit. He had a decent couple other rounds, but you know, playing against the top guys in the world here. And again, DJ was on. So absolutely.
Now the big question is, I know you watched, I'm pretty sure you wagered. Did you go real big, and how did you do?
Well, you know what? I did. I went with something that Casey had, and I actually did send out to even all my Crack Wins guys that one of the golfers, I forget his name now, Brendan, I forget his last name, I'm sorry, but he did not make the cut because he didn't make the previous 7 cuts. So that was one of our plays, and we wound up going 4-2 for the week, winning about 4 units. So yeah, golf's been good to us lifetime. Golf's been good to us this year. And sometimes the majors are tougher to win on these majors. So I'm happy we had a positive week for me and my Crack Wins guys.
You seem to really love the Masters. I could tell you were loving. Last week was the most excited I think I've seen you with the guest and just about the show in general. I didn't realize golf was so big for you until last week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been down to Hilton Head, which is the tournament that follows the Masters the next weekend. I've been down to Hilton Head about 20 straight times. Oh, I'll say 20 times. A couple of years in between I missed, but I love going to that tournament, and I love the history, the Calabogie Sound, the Lighthouse. There's such history to these tournaments. I enjoy going to them. I enjoy watching them on TV, too. I know golf is, when I was a kid, it was like a boring sport, but golf and baseball is the two sports I kind of grew up. I liked. I played golf for a long time too. I played a couple times a week, all up and through my mid 20s. All of a sudden, sports betting came in line, and sports betting is a game where I really can't take out 7-8 hours of a day to go to a course. And you know, back where I lived in New Jersey, in Monmouth County, New Jersey, back when I was playing, you didn't have tee time, or you know, you couldn't call up for a tee time, or you had to actually go in the morning at 6 a.m. This was for the Monmouth County, New Jersey courses. You used to go 6 a.m, grab your tee time, wait in line, and then actually come back at nighttime. I'm sorry, and later in the day and play your round. So you go 6 a.m. for a 12 o'clock round, go home and sleep for a couple hours. So it was a long day. All of a sudden, sports betting. I started professional sports betting in the mid 90s, and I kind of never looked back and kind of gave up golf. But yet, when I was in San Diego recently, I played around the golf, and it's like roller skating. It comes right back. I mean, really? Literally, I couldn't believe on the second hole at Barona Creek Golf Course, about 25 miles out of San Diego. I think it was the second hole, par 3, and I actually hit the green. I couldn't believe it. So
really,
it comes right back.
Yep. You know, it's funny. I told you before we started taping last week that I wasn't going to say it on the air because I didn't want to insult our guest, that I've had this long running, debate on my Action Junkies podcast that golf is an activity and not a sport. And it wasn't until listening to the passion and how Casey Kerr broke it down in terms of those guys being, you know, world-class athletes. And he said something that really is what changed my mind, is he said, you know, the back only has so many torques in it and so many swings in it before it just gives out. And then I started thinking about, oh, right. Okay. That's so Tiger Woods. That's the decline of Tiger Woods. Now I get it. And he literally, that interview changed my whole perspective on golf. I know a lot of people are probably going to rip me on this that, you know,
no,
I didn't take till then. But, you know, sure. I'm a baseball, UFC, football guy.
So, you know, I find it more interesting that you went right out and bet exactly what Casey said. And I feel bad that you weren't when I was doing my last two shows, previous years for majors, I did with him last year's Masters. And then the the British Open, which is called the Open now. He had Tiger Woods last year, and then he had a golfer that won the Open at like 80-1. So you would have had them though. You went right out and bet Bryson at 8-1. You would have definitely had one of our other guys there for sure.
Yeah, I just threw $100 on it. You know, I was like, oh, why not? You know, and so I bet on him and I bet on Tiger because he was like, you know, Tiger Woods can always win, you know. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. You know, I just thought at least it'll give me some sort of drive to watch highlights and stuff.
Robbed. These sports books really rob you though on guys like Tiger because it's like in a big name like that. He was like 40 or 50-1. He should have been 150-1. But then again, look how he came out and shot. I think he shot 4 under the first day. I mean, 4 under all 4 days puts him in second place in this tournament. So you're right. Casey's right. You never know.
Crack, I say it every week between you and WSN.com and all the sign-up bonuses they have to offer, the articles. It's always the best odds. I'm like a new man. I'm winning more money. I'm making sharper picks. It's my parlay addiction is offsetting that. So basically, WSN.com is funding my parlay addiction. But I urge all of you watching to go check out WSN.com. It's the sharp move.
Cool, man. Listen, you're sharpening up more and more each week, Jono. Good job. But, you know, absolutely, WSN.com. I talk about it every week with some passion because I actually do go to the site all the time and check out the articles myself. The bonuses. Listen, I love bonuses. I travel all over the country about for bonuses. So I always check out what's on there. All the different states, the jurisdictions, they have everything on there in one click of a button there. So tons of great articles and latest odds. I mean, there's so many good things to check out on WSN. Make sure you go there. Listen, I'm going there myself. And so someone that bets as heavy as I do, you can guarantee there's reasons why I'm there.
And while we're talking about betting, let's talk about my other secret weapon, which I know you know, is the Crack Wins app. It's been a game changer for me. Again, you know, and one of the things I wanted to talk about with this is discipline, right? It's like you're giving me the info in this app and I'm winning, but I'm screwing it up on my parlays. And it really comes down to discipline, right? That's really, at the end of the day, probably the most important thing that I think you would preach to someone, right?
Yeah, discipline is giant, actually, especially when you have so many primetime games. After like a Sunday, you have all of a sudden you have the night game, and you got to have action because maybe you lost in the daytime or maybe you won. You just want more action. It's not the way to make money in the long run, but I can guarantee you that I'm even going to say, it's going to sound crazy. I'm going to say 95%, or that might be low, of the people that are watching us right now have to have action on a game because it's on Thursday night, Sunday night, or of course, Monday night. And that's just not the way I work. And it's not the way any professional works. If there's a play to be made because you have a mathematical edge, or at least you feel you do, or you're getting closing line value, whatever it may be, then there's a play on that game. If not, you pass the game. Because then if not, what I do, taking advantage of the bookmakers and the lines, you're doing the exact opposite. You're feeding a bookmaker and you're just giving them money in the end. Maybe not that night. Maybe you got lucky that night. But in the end, you're not going to beat them.
Listen to Crack, people. Listen to Crack, okay? Download the app. It's available on Apple. It's on Google Play. The Crack Wins app. Go get it right now. Go on. Go.
Cool.
All right, well, it's time for us to move on to our guest. We sat down with him a little earlier in the day today, and here's how it went. All right, Crack, it's time to bring on our guest for the show today. We've got a fantastic one, a good friend of mine. He's coming to us from, I think he's somewhere in Kansas City or something right now. He's a UFC fighter. His nickname is the Cuban Missile Crisis. His name is Julian Marcus. Not only is he a fighter, but he even hosts his own podcast with the beautiful Kendra Lust. He hosts, or co-hosts, I should say, the Beauty and the Beast podcast, where, unfortunately, I hate to tell you, Julian, you're definitely playing the part of the Beast. Welcome to Wisecracks today.
What's up, y'all? I appreciate y'all having me on today. We're gonna make some picks, we're gonna have some fun with great conversation, but I'm gonna let you know this right now, it really depends on when the Beast comes out. It's either me or Kendra, because I'll tell you what, some days I look pretty and some days she's pretty beastly. I'm just saying, her job, her line of work, you gotta be an animal to do that.
Oh, cool, man. Well, Julian, great to have you. Thanks for coming on. Listen, I love that nickname. I have to ask you, how did you get it? Where did it come about?
Man, over years and years of being able to knock people out and just putting on pure excitement, they dubbed it upon me in the Kansas City ranks. One of my friend's wives actually said my nickname on one of the biggest fights in Kansas City when I was about to take on the number one in Kansas City. They actually just kind of said it in the locker room. I didn't even know I wasn't present. I didn't know that was my nickname, but she gave it to me, and they just went with it, and it stuck ever since.
Cool. Like it.
So, Julian, along with many, have been waiting for the return of the Cuban Missile Crisis. I know you had a really rough injury, I want to say almost 3 years ago now, or it's creeping up on that, and you've been on the shelf. I know you've been working hard. And you were supposed to fight last week, and I was hoping that this show today was going to be us doing your celebration show and recapping your epic knockout from last Saturday, but your opponent pulled out on you for the second time. Do I have this right?
Absolutely. We actually were supposed to fight him August 29th, 2020, and he had undisclosed reasons 10 days before the fight, so they pushed it to November 14th, in the day of weight cuts. Friday is a weigh-in. He reported that something happened and he went to the ER, so the fight was off, and which is just giving me more power, more excitement, and just more readiness to get out there and perform for all my fans, friends, and family. But I'm going to tell you what, man, I feel great. I feel awesome. It's no skin off my back that he doesn't want to fight. I made the weight. I showed everybody I can still be at 185, and also, everybody's just more and more excited for the return. So it's not bad for me.
Now, you told me last week that this was an easy weight cut for you. And then you also posted a picture on your Instagram of a before after pick. I feel like you've lost maybe 50 pounds this year.
Oh, absolutely. I actually more, to be honest. It was when I weighed in at 186, it was over 65 pounds I lost. But it was absolutely fairly easy. I dieted the entire time. I worked with Tyler Mitten on nutrition, and I worked with mental coach Dom the Hypnotist. And basically for the past 6 months, all this training camp, I've been working on every attribute that you need to perform at the highest level to where I'm at. And that is exactly what happened. I started out the past 28 months of my injury just enjoying food because I never knew when I was going to get back. I got up to 250, was the highest point, maybe like 252, 253, but let's just say 250 to be safe. And I dieted down, working on the nutrition, eating healthy every day. And next thing you know, I walked into fight week under 200, and I walked into weight cut at 192 is when I started my weight cut, which was 30 minutes in the hot tub or in the bathtub, laying down, just kind of chilling the night before. And then I woke up and I was in the bathtub for maybe 10 minutes. And then I got the call that the fight was off, and I got out of the bathtub and I was on weight at 186.0.
Wow, man. You've never looked better since I've known you. Crack, did I just hear Julian right? Did Julian say he worked with a hypnotist? Did I hear that right?
You know, it's funny. When I heard him say that, now, did the hypnotist work for you, though? You think he's actually been part of a successful weight loss with the hypnotist?
Look, the thing is with the hypnotist, there's a lot of things that it works. It's kind of one of those situations. If you want it to work, it can work for you. But if you try to battle it, then it won't. If you're a believer, you're a believer. And the thing is, I'm a believer. I worked with him, and there's a lot of things that changed in my mental game. There's a lot of different things that changed in just my approach at life and my approach at things. And honestly, I probably would be, 2 years ago, I probably would have handled this whole entire situation way different. But right now, you know, instead of working with like a counselor or somebody that's going to sit there and constantly bring up bad issues or bringing up the stuff that you're trying to get rid of, and you're trying to look past and trying to overcome, instead of bringing that up, we erase that from your mind. We erase your emotions towards that. And that's where we're at right now. I believe that it works. I believe that it's great, because whenever he brings up an issue, maybe later down the road or whatever we were working on, it doesn't, my reaction towards it's different. So the best thing I can say with working with a hypnotist is he doesn't teach you how to, you know, control your environment. He teaches you how you control yourself to react to it.
Very good. No, very good. Listen, I went to a couple, living in Vegas, I've actually went to two different hypnotist shows with my friends. They called some of my friends on stage, some of the strongest mentally people that I was like, they can never hypnotize this person. And they had this guy humping a chair. So I'm serious. Yeah.
We're a little bit different than the show style hypnotist. I actually did that when I was in high school. After prom, they did a hypnotist, and I was speaking Anglian tongue and some stuff. I have video.
Yeah, it's great, man. Great job.
So yeah, let's talk some football, Julian. I know you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan. Are you happy with the season so far? Well, we lost Julian. He was off the grid there for a minute, but now he's in a better spot. You were just about, it was like you left us on a cliffhanger just now. You were just about to tell us that you were not only a Chiefs fan, but you are a Raiders season ticket holder. Is that what I heard?
Absolutely. Look, I love the Chiefs, born and raised Kansas City, but I love investments. I love profit, and I love doing business. And right now I ended up buying, earlier in the year, I ended up buying Raiders season tickets. I got six of them, and I'll tell you what, the Raiders are looking amazing this year, which is going to make an even better next year.
And how does it feel not getting to go to a game or sell any of these tickets this year? And then how does that work? Do they refund you the money? How does all that work?
So what they're doing right now is they're letting it roll over till next year. You can get the money back, or you can let it play in for your season tickets for next year. Now, I invested for the seats at the PSL license, so I don't really get that money back until I start selling these tickets of the seats. But I'll tell you what, this year has been the greatest year for that investment, because everybody's been talking about the Raiders. Everybody's been talking about looking at the stadium, wanted to go inside and wanted to tour it. And I'll tell you this right now, next year, if they keep on winning like they're doing, next year is going to be an even bigger year than this year.
Hey, more importantly, who are you rooting for this weekend? You go with the home team Raiders, or are you rooting for the Chiefs to rebound and you know, come back and make up for that last loss versus the Raiders?
for years, the Chiefs and Raiders are kind of been going back and forth on the game. The Raiders just have a good play against the Chiefs. But this is the thing. The Raiders can't beat the Super Bowl Chiefs twice in a row. So the Chiefs are definitely going to blow out the Raiders. But I think I saw it on a plus 24. The Raiders were at a plus 24 when I saw it. I would take that all day.
No, I don't see no 24s. The line is the line 7, I believe. Let me go back and look again. Yeah, Kansas City opened up 6.5, and now they're 7-point favorite.
I think it was a teaser that I'm looking at then.
Oh, some kind of a – it might have been like a
teasers.
That's like a – actually, no, they have these crazy things, some sports books. He's right. They have – it's called like a pleaser. Well, they add 17 points, 14 – it's crazy odds. They add to the teams. You have, of course, you have to put so many in there. But, yeah, so I got you. I got you. Yeah, of course.
It's ridiculous. I think it's going to be a close game regardless. This is the thing is that the Kansas City Chiefs are great running, and they have Hail Mary passes. They have great targets. I definitely want to see what they're doing with Bell this year. He's going to get a little bit of plays, but not as much as I like. But they are a running team, and a good defense has always been the Raiders. Doesn't matter if they've been on top of the world or at the bottom of the world. The Raiders have a great defense for the Kansas City run. I don't understand why. Maybe just super similarities from the longest time and knowing each other. But I'll tell you what, this game's still going to be exciting. It's going to be thrilling, and it's going to be a good moneymaker for us all.
Cool.
So are you conflicted at all when the Raiders play the Chiefs, or is it you always back the Chiefs as your primary team?
Look, it's a win-win situation because this is the thing. If the Chiefs win, I'm happy. If the Raiders win, it just looks better for next year on these season tickets. Look, I'm in a perfect position. You know what I mean? And I'll tell you this. The Kansas City Chiefs last year won the Super Bowl, and it was amazing. I love it. It's awesome. But guess what? My life didn't change because of it. So I don't ever invest my life into a sports team that much. Unlike when we talk about the Dodgers, I know somebody that just goes way all in. Like, I love sports. I love it. I love it all. And I'll tell you what, I'm not conflicted because it's a win-win for me.
Julian, I have a question for you. I'm sorry, John.
No, go, go.
I have
go.
A question for you. I think I know the answer, but I think I'm going to ask you anyway. When you're fighting, or let's not use you because I don't want to have a conflict here. When UFC fighters are in general, do you guys know what the odds are on your? Does every fighter know they're a favorite, an underdog? Do they look at the odds, or do you think it's more of a business and that I don't care what the odds are?
The thing is that the odds makers are getting better and better at putting, you know, the odds of what they should be. But at the same time, they kind of just put the odds on what their friends tell them as well, because there's a lot of profit to be made on the Contender Series. If you look at the Contender Series last night, there were two underdogs that won. And then on top of that, there were two of the over-unders that were the underdogs that won. So you could have profited a ridiculous amount of money just on the Contender Series. And when it comes to me and the other fighters, when we sit there and talk about a fight, we're like, yeah, okay, this guy has a 50-50 shot, and we see the line is a minus, you know, 475. We know that, hey, it's a better chance to put it on the other guy because the odds are so great in that favor, that it's a better chance for you to risk. If you, you know, 10 out of 10 times, if you bet on the other guy, it's probably going to win if they're at a 50-50 shot. So that's how we look at it when we make our bets. But sometimes these odd makers just kind of, they just go off the hype.
Cool.
When you guys see that you are the underdog, do you get mad? Like if the line, if it's way out of whack, I don't even know if that's probably hasn't happened to you, but like if you were on the board at like plus 180, does it piss you off? And then does that fuel the fire?
I was a plus 400 against Phil Haas on the Contender Series, and a lot of my friends cashed out and the books were pissed off. Look, this is the thing. I don't care about the odds. I don't care about what they put me at. It doesn't affect me at all, because at the end of the day, anytime you put money on me, you're just going to rob from the casinos or the sports book.
I love it. You guys have something in common, I think, with your betting strategy. Crack, you are an over-under guy in NFL games. And
I like totals.
Right, you like the totals. And totals. Julian, always when we talk, he always reminds me and tries to sway me into the over under, you know, 2.5 rounds or whatever. What's up with that?
Yeah. No, it's not. I know it's not as fun. People love them at the side. They love to have a side in the fight and go against a certain fighter. But let me tell you something. Mathematically, sometimes the over-unders are the totals are much easier, I feel. So
I'm with it the whole entire time. Look, the thing is, I even in football, I'm doing way better betting the over-under than I am betting the actual favorite. This is the thing. You can't be betting a minus 325. I don't want to risk $325 to win 100. But to get a minus 170 on over, you know, 1.5 rounds, or a minus 115 on over 48 points, I'm willing to risk that because it looks more pleasurable, especially with two high power teams that you're like, okay, let's go. Like, this is a safe bet, and the odds are in my favor to win more money and put less down, because I've been on the opposite end where I bet, you know, let's use Ryan Bader in an MMA fight. Ryan Bader was minus a 450. I put 450 down on Ryan Bader, and I thought he was going to win against his last bout in Bellator for his title at 205, and he lost. So I lost $450, and if I would have put that $450 on the other opponent, I would have ended up making over $2,000 just on that bet alone. And wow. I ended up making a little bit of money because I put it on the over 1.5 rounds, and he got knocked out in the second round at the end of it. So I made a little bit of my money back, but I lost way too much.
Cool. I agree. Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. Especially this year in the NFL. Totals are unbelievable. The way to go for sure. Great.
Julian, this has been a crazy year for everybody, 2020. And I think your Instagram might be one of the most inspirational Instagrams out of all of the UFC fighters for sure. You have found a way to, you know, reinvent yourself, keep yourself relevant, stay positive. How have you've started, you know, starting a new business with the podcasting with Kendra, you know, during a pandemic. She's in, I think, Michigan. You were here in Vegas, and you guys, you know, have found a way to, you know, make a successful show. I see that show's growing. How have you been able to stay so positive in really a negative time for you personally with the fighting and with the, you know, coming back from the injury and the world being closed? How have you been able to stay so positive?
This is the thing, man, is like, it's all about your outlook. And I told you, I worked with Dom, the hypnotist, and it helped me change the way I control my emotions towards everything else. And if you look back, you've known me for, you know, during this whole entire, you know, injury, we've talked, we've had battles, we've had arguments, and we're all in love, but we talked about many different, you know, strategies and stuff that came through with it. And I'll tell you this right now, during this pandemic has been the greatest opportunity for myself, and I seized every bit of it. Now, it's a bad situation all around globally, but for me personally, it's been the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Look, all the jobs shut down, everything shut down to where I had to be focused on only one thing, and that was training. You couldn't go to work. I didn't have to go to work. So I focused everything on training. I focused everything on my nutrition. I focused everything on just my mental side to where when everything opened back up, I had enough money saved up. I ended up moving out of my place, and I just got up and left to Kansas City and just kept going and focusing on what I control. And that's Julian Marquez. I can't control the weather. I can't control, you know, what the government's going to tell you and where to go and what to do, but I can control what Julian Marquez does and how he reacts. And I reacted in the best way possible to make myself be the best person and evolution of who I can be. And I will not stop doing that, because the goal is to make it to the top. The goal is to make the most amount of empire money that you can. And I'm on the right path.
You sure are, man. And it's been fun watching you. Thank you so much for stopping by and taking the time to sit with Crack and I today. And we look forward to seeing you get back into the cage and get your hand raised in the near future.
Absolutely. You know,
I appreciate it, but I want to know this right now. What is your pick on the over-under this weekend? Are you taking the over of the Kansas City Chiefs, or are you taking the under? What are we talking about? Come on, let's give out a free bet today.
Listen, I think John has been the pick guy on the show. I really don't like giving away too many picks because but I am a total guy, if anything, so you're right. And the overs have absolutely cashed this year for me. It's a square thing. Normally, overs are sucker bets that you would think in most sports, but Not in the NFL, especially this year. So I'll have to go. If anything, I would lean to the over. What about you, John?
Yeah, me too. I mean, you know how I feel about Mahomes. I mean, I just always feel like they can cover the over all by themselves. So I'm definitely going to be, I would be all over the over. And I think the Chiefs do win the game for sure.
There we go.
I'm with it. We'll take the over this weekend and we'll post the post and see if the wise guy in the Orlando tells me it's right.
All right, man. Thanks, Julian.
All right, boys.
Later.
See you. Julian was great. That was fun. He's a good dude.
Excellent. Great to have him. Thanks, John.
Okay, so Crack, before we get into this week's bets, I'm not sure if you kept tabs on me from last week, but I think I got them all wrong.
Yeah, you did, but it's all right. You had some live dogs and stuff in there, and it takes a lot of heart for someone to bet dogs, especially money lines and stuff. So, another day. Go right to the chalkboard and draw them up again, sure.
There were some crazy finishes last week. The Buffalo game, did you see that? The last minute Hail Mary?
See, and that's why the line shopping and having line selections and different sports books to bet at is key. And I've been talking about it. I'm like a broken record over and over again. I know, guys, you want to just sit in your one sports book and you want to bet because that's the only option you may have for yourself. But you really should have other apps funded. You should have other places to bet because these games come down to the last second. You see what happened last week in the Cleveland game where the line opened up 2.5. It sat there for a day and a half at 2.5. Before going to 3, 3.5, and closing at actually 4.5 at some of the books. Sure enough, look what happened. Atlanta right on 3. And they probably actually should have won the game by 10 or 9 or 10. They actually fell down. The guy fell down purposely at the 1-yard line. That game landed right on 3. Going to the Arizona-Buffalo game, another game. It was -1.5. Matter of fact, even on the contest cards I play in Vegas, it was -1.5. Goes to 3. Look what happened. Hail Mary at the end. Crazy ending of the game. You would think if you're – and I bet you bet Arizona -3. It's like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm going to push this because it was 3 out of most of a lot of the sports books. What do? They don't even kick the extra point. Lands on 2. Last minute, any given Sunday, anything can happen still. Make sure you guys know that. Let's get right into your plays, John, speaking of any given Sunday.
All right.
Any given Sunday, you could scoop the board here.
That is my motto. I'm taking a page out of your book for my picks this week, the Any Given Sunday. And I'm actually going to go as far as to say I'm calling this weekend, this Sunday, Dog Day Afternoon. So I'm sure you know what's coming right now, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So Jets at the Chargers. This game opened at, I think, -9.5, and now it's -8.5.
Yep.
Crack, listen. I'm a, you know, I play a lot of blackjack too, right? So I'm a big law of averages guy. I'm a big, you lose 4 in a row, you can't possibly lose the 5th hand, you know, bet the house. I know you hate when I do that, but I can't help it. It's how I'm wired, all right? I'm an action junkie. So I think I have found the one lonely Jets win this season, and I think it's going to come this weekend. You know, they're coming off of a bye, which I like, and then their last game, you know, they only lost by 3. So I think that gives them some momentum along with, some reflection with the bye. And I think they are going to go in and with the we can win one theory. And I think that on the road in LA, I'm taking Jets money line at +335. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, it's actually plus. I'm looking on my screen right now because actually here's another example. So 335 is 330s, but there's also a 350 on the screen. Doesn't sound like a lot, but yeah, let's say you bet $100. You're getting an extra $15. You're paying for your lunch. So if it wins. So listen, the Chargers, boy, they really can't get out of their own way. 2-7, I believe their record is. Many will say that they're much better than that record. I understand. But, as the great Bill Parcells always said, you are what your record says it is. So anyway, this game feels like it's kind of like two lame duck coaches who may not even be there next year. So I think 9's a lot to lay, and I'm going to lean to the Jets. And hey, if you hit that money line, it's even better.
All right, very good, very good. I'm going to be on it. So okay, that brings me to again keeping with the law of averages, any given Sunday theme here. Steelers versus Jacksonville. You see where I'm headed? Yeah, Crack. Listen, I know Wisecrack's Nation's probably laughing at me right now. I'm okay with that. Here's my thought process. All right. Jacksonville lost by 4 to Green Bay to Green Bay. Okay. So sometimes a loss is almost as good as a win in my book in terms of, you know, headspace, momentum, all that stuff. So I'm going momentum, momentum, momentum. I think it's on Jacksonville's side. Again, I'm going money line.
So you're going to money line. No, you're not going to points here. Because
nope.
There's a couple 10 and a halves out there. You lay a little juice, minus 115. I could see that. Money line, ooh, I'll tell you. That's a ballsy one again. But again.
Maybe I do both. Maybe both. Is it crazy to do both?
No, of course not. You could do the team, and then you should do 10, 15, 20% maybe money line. So let's say you're going to bet, for the people at home, easy math. Let's say you're going to bet $100 on Jacksonville. Well, you could bet $80 on Jacksonville plus a 10, 10 and a half, and you could bet $20 on Jacksonville money line plus 350 or better. So not a bad idea. And listen, they have played, they played really hard. They really did. And I actually think they can keep it close this week too. So I am kind of with you on this game. Again, I'm not betting it right now per se, especially NFL sides. I hate betting, as you know. Last time Pittsburgh was a huge favorite on the road, they almost lost to the Cowboys. So, matter of fact, they should have lost to the Cowboys. I'll tell you right now, the Cowboys should have won that. So I agree with your underdog with 10 and a half. I'm going to root for your money line.
I love it. Okay. And I've saved the best for last. You know, usually I make my last pick my streak cred pick of the week, which, by the way, I was 2-0 going into last week, and then last week's didn't go too good, but I'm still 2-1 on my streak cred picks of the week. This one, maybe I may be going with heart. And we should talk about that too, is separating heart, and the emotion of who you really want to win with who you should bet on. I don't think I'm clouded here, even though I know anyone that knows me is going to say, come on, dude. So this would be the Cowboys and Vikings game. I kind of think with Dalton coming back, and again, the Cowboys are a big dog. They're coming off a bye. I love betting on teams when they come off a bye, especially if they lost the game before the bye, provided they played well, which the Cowboys didn't. But, I think it helps you reset, regroup, gives you that extra week to get your act together. I'm taking the Cowboys again, money line. So I'm going with I'm taking each individually money line, and I'm putting them all in a parlay. It's dog day afternoon. What do you think?
I'll tell you, most of the public, like square money, the reason why sportsbooks make so much money, let me just be blunt, they also play the money line, but on the favorites. So they love parlaying favorites together. I've talked about it before. They love laying, instead of laying the 7 or 10 points on a game, they want to lay -3 to 1, -2 to 1 on money line parlays. So you're doing the opposite here. Let me tell you, you're going to invest a little and win a house. So that's what you want to do, I guess, if you're gonna bet these kind of money line dogs. You know, and listen, it happens. These things happen. So shop your lines, and I definitely have to tell you though, don't just bet the parlay. Bet all three individual money lines straight up, because if you hit one, you're almost free rolling everything else. So,
I'm so glad you remind me of that, because I fail at doing that. It's like, it's weird. A lot of these weeks I do it with UFC too. I do it with all the sports. I can be, just pick a random, 4 out of 6 with three dogs and make very little money and sometimes lose.
Absolutely. You really should play those individual ones straight. I can't tell you how many times I have given people winners on totals or whatever. I say, hey, my buddy Mike, how you doing? I gave you 3-0 this weekend. You doing all right? No, I actually lost. How could you possibly lose? That's why I said I can't give you better than 3-0. So there's no way I'm ever giving you a pick again if you're going to mix them with your own teams and put them in parlays, but I don't tell you to do something like that.
I'm guilty. I get the winning information out of the Crack Wins app every week, and I screw it up somehow.
My man. Well, hopefully you can bet those straight games and listen to what I'm saying a little bit here and cash for a little bit, and hopefully free roll into a big payday there.
Yeah. All right. For sure. All right, Crack. Let's move on to our Twitter questions for the week. Let's see. We've got at FW9 asks, is the betting market starting to center more towards square bettors as opposed to sharp bettors?
Here's what the ideal line, quote unquote, is for a bookmaker to put out a line. He gets equal balanced actions both ways. He has no emotion. He has no favorite. He doesn't put his team into it. You want to put out a line that gets equal action both ways. Now, of course, it's never going to happen. There's always going to be a little side here or there. But for the most part, you want action both ways. So is it starting to cater more towards the square bettors? You know, the line probably is more towards the squares and what the average Joe, because that's the bulk of their business. So, yeah, of course, it's gonna cater more towards the square public market, because you're not going to take as much from the sharp guys anyway. But the bulk, even though it's smaller bets in bulk, that will way outweigh what the sharp guys bet.
Got it. Okay, our next question, our final question, which is a question I have a part two of for you, or I'd like to even expand on it, comes from Up North View, because he probably is up north and he's got a view. He says, are there games you feel more strong about, and do you make your bet on that game larger? Which was basically what I was going to ask you is, it's basically the gut feeling, right? Does the gut ever come into this with you like it does all of us?
No, there's no gut feeling. I haven't had a gut feeling like that since, I was like a kid back in high school, just, you know, or grade school, just betting because I like the Yankees and they were home that week or that day. No. So there's no gut feeling, but it's a great question. Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Up North View. I'll tell you why. There's not a game that I think stronger than another game. It's very, very rare I'll have like a 1.5 unit play compared to a unit, let's just say in general. But I do bet more percentage-wise of my bankroll on totals. So I'll bet more on a total than I will per se on NFL side, or I'll bet more on a proposition bet. I'll try to get down as much as I can on a proposition bet where I'll make that a bigger percentage of my bankroll getting down on, rather than again, a straight bet. So when it comes to like your totals, but when I say totals, NFL over unders, I'll usually have them all rated the same. If I do have that rare occasion, one where I'll bet more on, I'll actually talk about that to my crack wins guys, or I'll just bet more myself on it, but it's very, very rare. Everything really across the board, I kind of like as the same thing, you know, when you got all these scam guys out there saying, oh my God, this is my 10 star lock of the week, my 10 star lock of the year, lock of the century, you know, they're all BSers. So
they're really all that. Equal to you. They're all equal to you. A they're bet is equal. A bet.
They're all equal to me, but yet, like I tell my crack win subscribers, they're all equal to me, but yet I'll have a different percentage of bankroll compared to each sport, depending on what the sport is. That's what it would be, the bankroll. Like an NBA side, I may say that's a 1% bet 1% of your bankroll on an NBA side. But an NBA total, I may tell you it's 2%. A proposition bet, 3%. So on a prop, over under quarterback, you know, yards or touchdowns or something like that. So it all depends on the sport. It all depends on any given time of the year it may be too. I may bet more earlier in the season and scale back later in the season. So great question. Thank you.
And let me ask you this. I'm fascinated by your mindset on this stuff. Do you feel this way about the gut feelings, and do you have the discipline that you have because early on you got burned by falling into the trap, or has this always been your approach?
Let me just tell you, it definitely hasn't always been I grew up back east. I grew up in New York and in Jersey, where we just bet everything in our pockets. So, and I had to be taken and shaken and shown this. This is not something you're born with. I was a sucker in the beginning, like everyone else. I'll use, there's an old analogy, there's an old saying that literally the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome. And that's what most people do. They say, well, I got unlucky. I got unlucky. Let me tell you something. Everyone that watches a game, including you, John, everyone, you're going to watch the game just from your standpoint and just your side. So you can make a case for your mental self. God, I should have won that. Darn it. should have won that. You listen, literally, the Arizona Buffalo game, whatever, let's say you had Arizona, I had Buffalo. No matter what, you're going to say you should have won that game. It's every game. So you're going to look at it from your standpoint and say you should have won. I'm going to look at it from my standpoint and say, man, I should have won that game. So you take any two, you know, average guys that bet, you know, sports bettors, they're always going to think they should have won or they had a chance to win. But, oh, that fumble happened. Oh, that penalty happened. Listen, let me just tell you, there's reasons why you win the game or lose the game. And every single game, it doesn't mean every single game that you should have won. But that's what you think, because that keeps you coming back every week. And thank God you guys do, because that's how me and my guys make money.
Listen to this, people. Are you listening to this, man? It's just nugget after nugget of gold. If you have a question for the crack man, please hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, in the YouTube comments section, wherever you find us, hit us up and let us know. And by all means, download the Crack Wins app already. What are you waiting for? He just did, I don't even know how many minutes of just gold advice that was. And the Crack Wins app is full of it on top of all kinds of other things. It will absolutely lead you to the promised land. It's available on Apple. It's on Google Play. Download it today. Go get it.
Crack Wins app and WSN. What a parlay.
That's the parlay. That's the winning parlay for sure. For sure. All right. Well, Crack, listen, man, I don't know how this part of my day goes by so fast. I could literally sit here for 5 hours and I'm not even kidding and talk to you about sports all day long, but unfortunately we got to go.
Well, party's over for this week, but we'll be back next week and we're going to have some games right then and there. Thanksgiving week. This is a giant sports betting week. It's also a giant week. Sports bettors get literally so they're so flustered. There's so many games to choose from. And usually by the time the weekend comes, the bankroll is depleted. Let's hope we can help you with that.
All right. Good stuff, my man. I will see you next week and we will both see all of you next week. Be sure to go over to WSN.com, check it out and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Leave us a comment, leave us a like, show us some love, and we will see you next week.